Good evening. Man, you look so far spread out today. Fruit of the Spirit. Say it together. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Showing kindness can be a very simple act. And it can have a profound effect upon someone's life. Brandon Cook was visiting his ailing grandmother in a New Hampshire hospital. It was close to a Panera cafe. The story was kind of recorded on the pages of Panera's Facebook, for the family posted what had happened. His grandmother was ill with cancer. She was dying. On this visit, She was telling him how she really would like to have a bowl of soup, but not the hospital soup because that was awful. She would like to have some clam chowder from Panera's restaurant. And so it was unfortunate. Panera, I guess they still do. I don't know. I don't go there much. But they made clam chowder only on Fridays. And so he called the manager, whose name was Sue, and asked her if it would be possible to get some of their clam chowder. He said, I don't want anything special, but my grandmother's dying and she would really like to have a bowl of clam chowder from your restaurant. She said, of course we can do that. So when he went to pick it up, not only did they give the clam chowder, but they gave a box of cookies along with it. Grandmother appreciated it a great deal. He said, I really wanted to thank Sue, the rest of the staff at Panera in this New Hampshire town. And so within a short time, he posted on their Facebook page his thankfulness and gratitude for what they had done for his grandmother. That website or that post got 800 likes. Now, if you're not part of Facebook, I don't guess you understand that. But they got 800 likes. That means 800 people liked what was posted there. More than 35,000 people took the time to write a brief Facebook message commending that bakery. The author of the 2014 book, A World Gone Social, tells the story, and in essence, the next quarter, this Panera bakery, its sales increased 28%. In the next quarter after that, it increased 34%. Now, there's no way of knowing and proving that it really increased because of that kind act that took place and the posting that was made. But it did reach over 1 million people by that act of kindness through Facebook. Now, the Bible doesn't guarantee you that if you're going to be kind, you're going to profit financially from it. But it does promise that in His own timing, God will bless the quiet deeds of kindness that you and I do for people. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. How much do you appreciate it when someone does an act of kindness to you? This afternoon, we spent some time with this good couple over here, Sandy and her husband, who has a dog named Sonny. It was a great afternoon. Chocolate pie. Somehow she found out I like chocolate. Great act of kindness. Greatly appreciated. Doesn't it do something for you when someone does an act of kindness for you? And don't you feel just as good when you do an act of kindness for somebody else? Makes you feel good on the inside. Kindness is one of the greatest traits of the human character. The spirit of kindness is one of the greatest needs in our society today. People just need to be kind to one another. An act of kindness. Let someone out in traffic who has been waiting there and there's a long line of traffic behind you. But you know, you're in such a hurry, you just don't do that. But an act of kindness makes you feel good, makes them feel good. Someone said the other day on TV, the thing that irritates them most in life is you let a person out in front of you and they don't even wave to say thank you. Well, the act of kindness is what works. Kindness. If the spirit of kindness was over our world, the world would be a different place for us to live in, wouldn't it? Just imagine what kind of world it would be if people were kind to one another. If every person was kind to each other, there would be no war. There would be no murders. There'd be no anger. There'd be no stealing. There'd be no hostility and wrath. There'd be no lying. There would be no loneliness. There'd be no selfishness. There would be no deception. There would be no abuse. There'd be no hoarding. There'd be no adultery. There'd be no divorce. If everybody was kind. It's simply a kind act that you do, but it has a trait that just touches people's lives when you're a kind to them. A kindness that shows love to one's neighbor above yourself. Kindness that reaches out and serves and helps other people when they have particular needs in their life. Let's try to understand, if we can, the words that Paul uses in this text. Now, there are three that seem very similar. Kindness, goodness, and gentleness. In fact, I was going to combine those three in one sermon. And then the committee called me and says, can you extend a couple more weeks and preach each of them individually? So that's what we're doing. But they are very similar. Kindness is from the Greek word krestoes. Goodness is from agathosune. And gentleness is from paetos. Now, I didn't say those to you so I could know you know that I could say Greek. I wanted you to see that those are three very distinct words. The word for kindness here is used of God. It's used of mankind in being loving, friendly, generous, merciful. For instance, old wine is said to be kratos. It's mellow. I once heard a guy in a quartet say that he was told one time his voice was mellow. He said, I was excited about that, and I went home, looked it up in the dictionary, and it said, mellow is almost rotten. But that's not what this means. Kratos, in that sense, old wine is mellow. But it's also used of Christ's yoke in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, where his yoke does not chafe. It's easy. It's gentle. The whole idea of this word is goodness that is kind. It's showing generosity. It's showing sympathy toward other people. Goodness means working for one's benefit beyond your benefit. Gentleness means meekness. It is that humble spirit, that gentle attitude that patiently is submissive to any offense that comes your way, and you don't desire revenge, you don't desire retribution in any way. It's just a kind spirit. The kindness of the Bible speaks about the kindness of God. Here's some scriptures that we're going to look at that talk about the kindness of God. Number one, Isaiah 54:8. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. And then Isaiah 63:7 says, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for you, for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. So the Lord's kind. Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, for I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appears to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. He didn't draw them with harshness, with firmness. He drew them with loving kindness. It's like attracting ants. You put out sugar. Kindness attracts. Acts chapter 14, verse 17. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. Romans 2:4. Or do you not show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? Romans 11:22. Consider, therefore, the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. Titus 3:4-7. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth by the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. It was the kindness and the love of God that did that. You know, the Golden Gate Bridge connects San Francisco to Marin County. We lived in Santa Cruz and have been across that bridge a few times. Santa Cruz is just 75 miles south of San Francisco. I did not like going to San Francisco for any reason. The only time I went there was to take guests. It's a town I like to avoid. It spans the Golden Gate Straits. And one of the things it is known for is it is a bridge from which people jump off to commit suicide. In fact, it's the second most popular place in the world for people to commit suicide. Roughly, about one every 2 weeks, someone caught in the darkness of despair and loneliness and hopelessness makes their way across the bridge, and they climb over the protective guardrail, and they jump 250 feet down into the icy cold waters of that strait. By the time they hit the water, they are doing about 75 miles per hour, and they are killed on impact. There was a suicide note that they found a few years ago. It was left on the bridge. It was a note that simply said by this man, he was going to commit suicide, but he said as he walked on the bridge, if someone smiles at me on the way out, I will not jump. No one smiled, and he jumped, looking for some kindness, and found none. What would have happened to the prodigal son if his father had not been kind? If his father would have said, I told you this wasn't going to work out. I told you it was a stupid idea. I told you that you would waste our money. I told you that you really should not come home if you mess up. But that's not what he did. He was out looking every day, maybe every hour, looking down the road, hoping and praying, trusting that one day his son would come home. And when he saw him come, he ran to him. He never said for one moment, where have you been? What have you done? He threw his arms around him and said, my son that was dead is now alive. And he welcomed him in, killed the fatted calf, put a robe on him, put shoes on his feet, restored him through an act of kindness. That story reveals to us the scriptures we've just read, that God is a God of kindness. He does kind things to us, drawing us to himself for redemption. Thank God that he was kind to you and me, that he was wonderful to us and drew us unto himself. Well, let's look at a couple of examples, maybe three examples, in scripture of this gift. 2 Samuel chapter 9 is the story of King David showing kindness to one of his subjects. It's the story of Mephibosheth. He's the son of Jonathan. Mephibosheth was a child when they were at one time, Saul and his family was running away from danger, and a servant was carrying the child and apparently tripped and fell, and the child was crippled for life. And so this is Mephibosheth. Jonathan, you recall, was David's friend, one of his best friends. He was also the son of King Saul, who was one of David's worst enemies. He wanted to kill David. In 2 Samuel 9 is the story of King David showing kindness to one of his subjects, this young man, Mephibosheth. Let me read the story to you. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. One day David asked, "Is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Notice that, show kindness. He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. "Yes, I am, sir," Ziba replied. The king then asked him, "Is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show," listen to this, "God's kindness." He didn't say my kindness, "God's kindness to them." Ziba replied, "Yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He's crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. "In Lo Debar," Ziba told him, "at the home of Michar, son of Amiel." So David sent for him and brought him from Michar's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. Now just insert here, I would imagine he's scared to death because he's Jonathan's son. He's Saul's grandson. He doesn't know why the king is calling him. He bows down and David says, "Greetings, Mephibosheth." Mephibosheth replied, "I am your servant." "Don't be afraid," David said. "I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table." Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, "Who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me?" And then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table." Wow. David's throne and his power has been secured. There's no internal, there is no external threat to his kingdom at this point. And so now he can begin to fulfill the commitment that he had made to his friend Jonathan. The oath was he would not wipe out his siblings, the descendants of Jonathan. He would keep them alive. Now, that was a strange request. It was a good request on Jonathan's part, because in the Middle East, the custom was of that day that when you became king, you would put to death all of the people who were a family of the previous king. So everyone was killed. Sometimes these kings would even kill their own siblings because they thought they were a threat to their kingship. Well, although it had been many years since Jonathan's death, David is a man of his word. And so he has not forgotten his commitment that he had made to his friend Jonathan. So out of deep kindness, he shows kindness to a crippled man who is his son's friend, or he's the son of his friend. What motivated him to that kind of kindness? Well, number one, it was a commitment that he had made to his friend Jonathan. But I believe it was beyond that. David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible tells us. And God's heart is kindness. God's heart is love. God's heart is not vengeance. I want you to notice that Scripture says that David wanted to show Mephibosheth God's kindness. God's kindness. You know, when you show kindness to people, it's not just your kindness. You're showing actually God's kindness when it's done in the name of the Lord. Astounded at receiving such a wonderful gift, Mephibosheth bows before the king in great humility, and he says to the king, you know, why are you treating a dead dog like me with this respect? Obviously, this young man who has been crippled from life has a very poor self-image. Perhaps he's had it throughout his life. The term dead dog was an expression of contempt. Why are you showing kindness to someone that you ought to be showing contempt to? And he was expressing astonishment that David was being that kind to him. I discovered something. A kind person does not think of the situation of the other person. It doesn't look at people in contemptible ways. It just expresses genuine kindness to that person. The next person I want to look at is Joseph. Now, we talked about Joseph this morning a little bit, but if you bear with me just for a moment, because he's such a demonstration of this gift of kindness. We know the story, how he angered his brothers. They sold him. False accusations against him. They abandoned him. He's gone through suffering. He's gone through a lot of things. We talked about this morning. But God had not forgotten him and raised him to a position of power in Egypt. And when his brothers come for food during a famine, instead of showing hatred to them and contempt for them, he shows loving kindness. It was a supernatural thing. The natural thing was to react against them. You did this to me. You deserve to die. Go back home. Send my father down here, but I'm not feeding you guys. But instead, he shows an act of kindness. Joseph sees God's divine hand in it all. And in Genesis 50, 19 following, he says, don't be afraid of me. Why shouldn't they be? They should be afraid of him. In his natural human state, they ought to be very afraid of him. But he says, don't be afraid of me. Why? Because God's done a work in his life. Am I God that I can punish you? You know, one of the things we can learn from that is that if we just let God do the punishment that we'd like to do to people, he'll do it a lot harder than we would ever do it. And it will be perhaps one that will draw them to him. When you do it, when you're a husband or a wife and you're going to take care of the husband or wife and set them straight, God pulls his hands back. He lets you do it. You take your hands off and you pray about it and say, Lord, this is what they did. God will take care of that in that person's life. And that's what he's doing here. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position so that I can save lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking how? Kindly to them. Kindly. Fruit of the Spirit is not a natural human trait, my friends. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God. It is God's kindness. It is not our kindness. The third biblical figure I want to look at is Jesus himself. He forgave the crowds. As the crowds jeered and spit on him, as the soldiers whipped him 39 stripes, as they put a crown of thorns on his head and the blood is trickling down over his face, as they nail him to the cross, he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, not only did Jesus teach kindness, he demonstrated kindness. He showed how it was to be lived out in one of life's most treacherous hours. Over and over again, you see him showing kindness to people. He showed kindness to that thief who was on the cross beside him. He healed people. He taught people. He blessed people. He was a God of kindness. Kindness is one of the great virtues of life. A kind hand reaches out and helps people when they need help. A kind thing is to simply smile at people. I don't know if you notice it, but when you walk down most streets today, people don't even look at you. They'll just look away or they'll look down. They won't look at you. I like to catch their attention and smile at them. It's an act of kindness. You know what happens? They smile back. Sometimes I'll say hi to them, and they'll respond by saying hi. Sometimes they get by you before you can even do that. But we live in a world that people live in isolation. We live with our heads in a phone, and we live with our heads in a tablet. We live with our heads in a... And you go in a restaurant and families aren't even talking to each other. Mama's on the phone, kid's on the phone, grandpa's on the phone. Well, maybe not grandpa, but this grandpa might be. We need to have some kindness shown among people. It's one of the great virtues of life. You know, a kind person will not speak harshly to you. They will not lie to you. They'll not deceive you. They'll not gossip about you. They will not slander you. They'll not falsely accuse you of anything. A kind person will control their speech. When they might like to say something to you harshly, they live in self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit we'll talk about later. A kind person speaks the truth, but they speak it with kindness. A kind person is always encouraging and building people up. A kind person is like the Good Samaritan, whose kindness took this man who had been beaten and was about to die, takes his wounds and binds them up, provides for him when pious people had passed him by. So, in summary, a kind person will always be like a brother or sister to other people. A kind person will always be demonstrating the very kindness of God himself. So a kind person knows the great commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength. But he knows the second part of it too, your neighbor as yourself. What a picture of grace and mercy and kindness we find in the three illustrations we talked about tonight. David with Mephibosheth. Joseph with his brothers, Jesus with all mankind. It's a miracle, I believe, that people can be so redeemed on the inside through the grace of God and the Spirit living in them that they can be anti-natural and they can begin to show the kindnesses of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 again. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sins? The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. So here's two or three questions or things to do today. Number one, when you look closely at your life, would people say that you're a kind person? When they look at you, would they say, look at me, is Norm Patton a kind person? Secondly, I want you to think of two or three people this week that you could show kindness to. Maybe people that you would not normally be kind to. Maybe somebody who you don't want to be kind to, but you need to be kind to. And so pick out two or three people this week and before the week is over, show an act of kindness to them. And then let's make the kindness of God, this fruit of the Spirit, a part of our everyday life. Let's pray. Father, I know that it's not always easy to demonstrate kindness. Sometimes our human nature gets in the way. Sometimes we want to react in the natural state instead of in the spirit state. I pray that you'll help us to remember that you live in us, and as we react to people, we're actually showing them how God is to them through us. And so, Lord, that ought to help us to say, and I want to be kind to people. I want to be patient with people. I want to be honest with people. I want to love people the way God loves me. Help us to live that way as we go forth this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with me?